My goodness.
Okay, we went really quickly to try to decipher what just happened. It sounded like a finish line commencement speech. Did anyone pick that up also? Like the beginning of the governor and then the doctor both sounded like commencement speeches. Am I wrong?
A little bit, and we thought it was commencement. Then June 11th popped up, and that was a little bit hazy there.
Bingo. The second thing I got from that, I cannot believe he's continuing this till June 11th. Cannot believe it, but I can.
Well.
I can.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't... He was very vague in some of his answers, and we're going to clip off one of the answers when someone asked a very good question.
Right.
You're mandating masks. The CDC is not. What if a business says, I'm going to follow the CDC guidelines, I'm not requiring masks, what are you going to do?
Well, I will say this. If Frankfurt remains consistent, if not anything, Kentucky will be dead last in mask removal. And he said it's going to be June 11th, but forgive me if I'm skeptical of a guy that said 15 months ago, we just need to do this for 2 weeks to flatten the curve, yet here we are. In my opinion, it's going to take him out of the limelight, and he's going to milk this for all it's worth. I would say watch for June 11th and see if he doesn't try to extend it just two more weeks. That's just my opinion.
Two things that jumped out at me. I'm really upset that the press room isn't open yet.
Yeah.
That was first a really question. Important first question because that affects all of Kentucky. And
yes, that person should be fired.
And I'm glad Dr. Stack is shopping at grocery stores again.
Yeah,
he only recently went to a store again. So that I feel bad for people that shopped for him. But I'm glad he's shopping again.
Forgive me. I don't mean for the person to be fired, but I do. I think that person, whoever asked that question, should be embarrassed. And then the reason some of the questions are embarrassing. The state's media at this point not asking questions that we all care about. The woman that asked, "What are you going to do with businesses stay open?"
And then tap dance.
The tap dance. Now, whoever that woman is,
yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
Whoever that woman
yes.
is, thank you for doing your job.
Not the one that said, "So, Governor, when you go to the store, are you going to wear a mask?
Are you going to wear a mask? Are you serious?
Are you kidding me?
Like, what?
Are
you, what? Like what? Where are we? This isn't. Where's the Mayberry?
Right. You guys want to have some fun?
Wait, it's not even Mount
okay.
Pilot. Yes. And before we get into
what?
Before we get into this, I want to say at the bottom of the hour, Louder Than Life has announced the schedule.
Ooh!
And it's pretty freaking
Danny
good.
Wimmer to the rescue.
But right now, let's do This Day of Music.
This Day of Music, let's make it a depressing one. Let's keep it a little kind of a darker theme and what we have lost along the way. It was in this day. In 2015, that we lost one of the greats, in my opinion, Mr. B.B. King. Boy, it just doesn't get any better than that.
Man. I got to hang out with him once.
I hung out with him several times. I've got lots of signed pictures and memorabilia down here. What a genuinely great man that guy was.
Same concert for like 40 years, right?
Yeah.
Like same set list?
It was close. Yeah, it
right.
was same close. Last time I saw B.B. King... last few times I saw him, he was sitting down because, of course, he was
over
his years. And he even addressed that. He said, look, I'm sitting down, but I feel 70, whatever it was, 78, 81. He deserved that.
What's the name of the guitar?
Lucille.
Lucille.
He got that because it was in a club that had caught fire. And he went back in and risked his life to get that guitar. And... he shouldn't have done that. Somehow the fire was started because people got in a fight over a girl named Lucille, and he named it that just to remind himself never to do anything.
Was this at Jim Porter's you hung out with him at?
No, it was Palace Theater. There's several different
Jim Porter's used to have a little crappy area right behind the stage, and it had just a couch and two chairs. And I walked in, and he was sitting on the couch, and I sat in the chair. He goes, no, come sitting on the couch. And he had Lucille, I guess, with him, and he was like, you want to hold Lucille? And he was as cool and down to earth. And like, we just did a little I had a handheld recorder, and we did a quick interview for about 5-10 minutes, and he couldn't have been cooler, man.
He was very awesome. Accommodating, very genuine. And it was either the last time or one of the last times I saw B.B. King. It was at the Palace Theater. I was a tremendous fan, huge fan, so I would sit as close as I could. I was lucky enough to be front row center on this one. And he broke into one of my favorite songs that he did. It was called Caldonia. Well, the audience wasn't really participating, but it got to the chorus, and the chorus is Caldonia, Caldonia, what makes your big head so hard? So he screamed it out, Caldonia, then the band, Caldonia. Well, me, after drinking, stood up, and I said, what makes your big head so hard? He stopped the concert.
No.
He stopped the concert. He said, how is it that this little white boy is the only one that's singing along with this? He got up, he walked over, he got in his pocket, and he gave me a gold B.B. King guitar.
No, shut up.
No. Yeah. And he gave me a pick. And he said, I want y'all all to do like this little white boy did. And they all sang the rest of the song, and here it is right here, Caldonia. Caldonia is her name.
There we go.
It's where we sing it, baby. But B.B. King, he was the son of sharecroppers. It was in Mississippi is where they were. Sharecroppers in Mississippi. When he was only 4 years old, his mother left him. And left his father and him for another man. So he basically was raised by his maternal grandmother, Elnora Farr. When he was young, he started into the church choir, and that's where B.B. King at this Pentecostal church somewhere in Mississippi. The local minister played and he performed with his Sears and Roebuck Silverton guitar during the services. Then the minister knew that B.B. King was interested, so he taught him his first three chords. At the age of 12, B.B. King went on to purchase his first guitar for only $15. And in 1941, boom, he was off and running, man. Blues legend influenced so many people. As a matter of fact, ZZ Top tells the story in their documentary that part of the reason that they're named ZZ is they had blues posters all within their apartment where they were living.
Yes.
And there was a lot of BBs and a lot of Kings. And so instead of BB at the early part of the alphabet, they moved it to ZZ.
That's how you get ZZ Top.
Well, ZZ, meaning BB, the opposite, all the way to the other end. And then King. King is the top. The top is high as you can get.
Yeah.
ZZ Top.
Well, they should have been YY then. If he was AA King, then I get the ZZ Top.
Well, where
did you get this story? In a drunk bar in Dixie Highway in 1986?
No, I had heard it before. I believe I read it in Rolling Stone, but now there's a documentary out. And it's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, it's called ZZ Top and a Little Band from Texas. It's a very compelling documentary, and they tell the story of that. And they tell the story how they had all the blues posters. And they took BB and they said, well, what's the opposite of the front of the alphabet, the end of it?
That's pretty cool.
And King, well, you had Albert King, you had all these different Kings. It wasn't just necessarily BB King, but there was a lot of different blues players with last name King. Freddie King, Albert King,
right.
BB King. And they said, okay, well, instead of King, what else is there? It's the top. So they made themselves ZZ Top. If you get a chance.
And they were bluesy at the beginning.
Yeah.
ZZ Top was a blues band.
ZZ Top says in this documentary, they said, we've never declared that we're a blues band, but it's our interpretation of the blues. But yeah, definitely they are bluesy.
Yeah.
Listen to that. A little ZZ Top for you right there.
Just heard it on the X.
Just got paid. Well, another person that we lost today.
Hang on, man.
All right.
Just got paid today. Got me a pocket full.
In this ZZ Top documentary on Netflix, they talk about how Dusty Hill, he didn't realize, they took a break. They took like a 3-year-long break after they became popular. And he didn't realize, do people like me because I'm in ZZ Top? Or do people like me because I'm Dusty Hill? So what
they like him because he's in ZZ Top.
Or do they? So he took a job. He took a job at like an airport as like a baggage handler.
Yeah.
Where nobody knew him. Because nobody knew what he looked like. And that way he could have the opportunity to just hang out and work with people and then go to the bar after work. And he did it. Nobody knew who he was.
Right?
It's an incredible documentary.
Didn't I just say they knew him from ZZ Top?
They didn't know who he was.
Right. All right. But they when he's with ZZ Top, though,
oh, yeah,
that's
absolutely
why he's famous. Yes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But he wanted to know if people like you as a person. Like, if you have celebrity, you got a question.
And that was pre-MTV legs and all that.
Then they talk about a tour that they did, and they say, well, let's do this. They wound up getting a gigantic steer, a bull with the big horns to be on stage.
Yeah.
They had vultures sitting on each side.
And, of course, Heard It on the X is about the radio station.
Yeah.
It's a million watts, and it's in Mexico.
Right.
It's in Mexico, right? Yeah.
Right. At one point, they tell the story about how the Rolling Stones, early in their career, they say, look, the Rolling Stones contacted, and they say, we're doing a show, multiple shows, over three of them, I think, over here in Hawaii. We want this ZZ Top band to open up for us. So ZZ Top's management gets them over to Hawaii. And it's having a great time. Problem is, the guys like to drink. And after the first night there, they ran up a tremendous bar bill. So management came in and said, that's it. You're allowed two drinks a day, and that's it. Other than that, you pay for yourself. Well, they were bummed about it until they found out the bar served a gigantically tall drink that's actually meant for multiple people.
Right.
It sits like four foot tall.
Yeah.
And they would drink two of those, but they were incredibly expensive. It's a great documentary. If you get a chance, look it up.
Is the X still around, Million Watt Rock Station?
I have no idea.
I heard it on the X.
Well, another name that we lost today in music history, back in 1998, born in Hoboken, New Jersey, to Italian immigrants. He's the only royalty that America has ever had. We're talking, of course, about the chairman of the board, and here he is on News Radio 840 WHAS. Damn it, I missed the post. Okay, here he is.
The summer wind came blowing in.
Frank Sinatra.
From across the sea.
I mean, not just a music icon. I mean, he was a political icon in the early 60s, late 50s with John F. Kennedy and running in that Rat Pack group with all those actors. And
won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
And, of course, the character in Godfather, the singer, is supposed to be played.
Right.
Or his life is based after Frank Sinatra.
Born to immigrants, Italian immigrants, in Hoboken, New Jersey. Sinatra found success as a solo artist in 1943, becoming what they called a Bobby Soxer. He released his debut album called The Voice of Sinatra, but in 1946... In the early 50s, his career kind of stalled out. So in the 50s, he turned to Las Vegas, and he started a residency there with other guys known as, of course, the Rat Pack. We're talking about Dean Martin, Sammy Davis. These guys would be performing. But then after shows, they were known to just get off the stage and take over card tables and start dealing cards.
Yes, they owned Vegas.
They owned the town.
Yeah.
And if any band, comedian, Rickles was part of that crew, if any of them tried to do what they did back then now, with all the regulations of casinos.
They invented the overpaid Vegas stay.
Yeah, right. No, the residency.
They drank all night. They get up. They go take the sauna. They'd start having martinis, except for Dean, because Dean was famously a non-drunk.
Did you ever see the picture of Sinatra stepping off of the helicopter on top of a Vegas hotel with a tumbler of scotch? Isn't that just the greatest picture
Well,
ever?
He had the reason that he had such great pictures, and everyone has pictures of him, because he told his photographers, every single one of them, he said, if you ever have people pose for a picture, you're fired.
You're fired.
So he said, look, my friends have personalities enough. You just walk around the party and take pictures. while we're talking and doing our thing. And that's why if you buy a picture book of Frank Sinatra, I don't care how thick it is, every picture's like, that looks like the place to be at that moment in time.
Right.
Because there was no pose picture. Because you know what we all do with our pictures. Hey, everybody get close. It's all four of us, arms in arms.
Yeah, right.
None of that.
Posing.
None of that.
This, of course, is a well-known song, Stranger Named Dwight.
No, it's Stranger in the Night.
What?
Yeah, Stranger in the Night.
Now I feel like an idiot.
Right. Now you feel like an idiot?
When he left the world, Sinatra's estimated value and net worth, his net worth, $200 million. Not too shabby, man.
Yeah.
He did it his way.
Yeah, this was my go-to karaoke,
yep.
Remember?
Absolutely.
We had a Christmas party at iHeart, then Clear Channel, probably 2001.
Never understood the relevance of you doing it nude, but nonetheless,
yeah, yeah,
you
right,
killed.
Yeah. But middle of the afternoon, Terry Miners comes in with the Marty unit. I'm singing it, and we have been drinking since the night before, because you have to do pre-drink for Christmas party back then at the radio station. We're going to start pre-drinking? Yeah, it's 11 p.m. the day before, right?
Of course.
So I am barely standing on stage, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Terry hands me the mic to hold with the karaoke mic, and I sing this song, drunk, on WHAS in 2001.
As a matter of fact, I'm serious, a heart attack. I tried to change frames with this picture. I've got a picture of that day. It's me, you, and Charlie still on stage, all with cigarettes and drinks. And I always refer to that picture as the fat pack. Because all of us are bloated. So anyway, rest easy, B.B. King and Frank Sinatra, the chairman of the board. We miss you.
Speaking of the fat pack, Haley Hansen will join us at the bottom of the hour after the news. She's not fat, even though she got married and has been sitting at home for 15 months.
Give it time.
Yeah, that's going to happen. It's called an inflator ring, not a wedding ring. So we'll talk to her about Crusade for Children trivia as we roll along. Still taking your comments on Twitter and Facebook on the governor's press conference a little bit earlier, just a couple of minutes ago. Very confusing, because it's not already a confusing issue anyway. It's good to come up and stammer and tap dance and do everything else and get confusing and put another date on stuff. And, well, you can follow the CDC rules or you don't have to follow the CDC rules. And then restaurants could go to whatever capacity on a certain date and whatever. And, you know, wait, we can just kind of figure things out. And the other guy can get up there and he can, what? I'm sorry. Back after this, News Radio 840 WHS.
WHAS.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that song must mean we have Haley Hansen on the line. Haley Hansen.
All right. I love that Cardi B and Bruno Mars are my walk-in music.
Yeah, that's of course, the Cardi B's.
Very good. Yeah.
Haley, I don't think they're B's.
Haley will be joining us tonight for our rendezvous for pizza, beer, and we're going to make fun of people.
At an undisclosed Berno's location, it looks like most of the WHAS staff.
Oh, this is growing.
Terry Miners just texted.
Is he in?
He is in.
Oh. All right.
So, we will, if you go to this restaurant, we're probably going to make fun of you, so wear something goofy.
Right.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, which we normally do anyway in our own heads. It'll be out loud tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's do some Crusade for Trivia. We're running out of time here because the governor, when you talk on the show, you can wear your mask.
So you're gonna waste your time by complaining. Let's get this started.
Oh,
there you go.
Oh, my God. Oh my, now you've become my mother. Here we go. Question one for Crusade for Children Trivia.
Okay.
Now, you have bells in front of you. Are you going to use the real bell or your little ding, 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 ding?
I'll do every other one.
Let me hand you my ding, ding.
Is this your ding-ding or mine?
That's mine.
Come on, just get someone's ding-ding. Right,
question,
let's go.
Question number one.
Okay. Easy, Thunder.
On the TV show Friends,
yes,
which character made the mocha latte?
Bill Cox.
No, Carl.
The mocha
latte? No, the mocha latte.
Mocha latte?
Is it M-O-C-H-A? That's
yes,
mocha.
It's not
that's
just,
mocha.
Yes, but it's pronounced something different.
It's not just Nixon.
Which character? There's only... Three.
Let's see. There's Ross,
Rachel, there's Monica,
there's
Phoebe.
There's
no Jesse.
Gary.
Okay. There's no Gary.
Please quit trying to help, Carl. You're...
Yes, ma'am.
I was not a Friends aficionado, so I can't help you here.
Okay.
It's got the same letter in the damn name.
Monica!
Thank you.
Monica!
Hey!
Ah!
Hang on. That's not a ding, 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 ding.
A real bell!
Yeah, all right. All right, question number two.
Okay.
From which country did the United States purchase Alaska?
Russia.
Ooh. That would make sense, right across the Bering Strait.
It is Russia. It was purchased for like some ridiculously low amount, I think.
That was the Louisiana purchase.
You all need to answer the damn question.
It's Russia.
It's right across from Russia.
Final answer?
Yes.
There.
See, I can see him hesitating now.
I don't like to. I need to go back to ding, 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 ding.
From this point forward, I will answer all of the geometry questions.
Okay.
All right.
Question number three.
Yes.
This is very easy.
Okay. Oh, I got to call my wife.
So I'm going to ask Kaylee.
Text my wife.
Which artist recorded the hit single My Prerogative
Bill Cox.
In 1989?
Carl.
Oh, my God. Man.
If you get this one wrong, I'm going to give you a wedgie tonight at Barrenos.
It's either Tina Turner or Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
It's not Tina Turner.
So. Oh, damn it.
Oh, Bobby Brown then. Bobby Brown.
Final answer, Bobby Brown?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Haley. What band was Bobby Brown in before he went solo?
She's never going to get that.
Oh, the Charlie Browns. Everyone knows that.
Right, good answer. So good.
Was that Boys to Men?
No.
Question number four.
New Edition.
New Edition, that's it.
Question four.
Cool it now.
You're 3-0 right now.
Okay.
Who plants the gun for Michael Corleone to use in the restaurant shooting in The Godfather?
What character?
What character?
It's right over the toilet.
I've watched The Godfather like once, so I can't quote you everything.
It's like one of my least favorite movies, so I'm no help.
He also said, take the gun, or take the bologna.
He said, eat the gun, drop the cannoli.
Eat the cannoli.
Drop the gun.
At least he smelled good.
Drop the gun. Take the cannoli.
It's one of the most famous characters in The Godfather.
Am I allowed to phone a friend?
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hurry up.
Is it Abe Vigoda's character?
Could
you imagine having to live with that?
Who plants the gun?
It's like Wolowitz's mom.
Let's listen to this.
Could you imagine?
He says it's not Tessio, which I guess is the name.
Tell him it starts with a C.
He says he loves. It starts with a C. Clemenzo. Ding, 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 ding.
Hey!
Thanks, Bob.
That is correct. Your husband is smarter than you. Here we go. Question number five.
That's not a very big achievement.
What is the most commonly used oil in Chinese cooking?
Oh, sesame seed oil. No. Panda oil.
Peanut oil. Peanut oil.
It's got to be peanut.
Well, they do love their peanuts.
They do. And bats. But they don't make bat oil.
Is panda oil a choice? Because if it's
panda oil, it's very rare.
Then let's go with peanut oil.
It's hard to extract.
Final answer, peanut oil.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yay.
Listen, I would like to caution people that a lot of people, like me, are allergic to peanuts.
Why is he turning into
Dr. Fauci.
The peanuts?
Is that Haley Hansen?
It's Haley Hansen.
Tell her I said, she knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, thanks, doctor.
Question number six.
Yeah?
What candy bar was named after a family's horse? Was it Snickers or Almond Joy?
Snickers.
Gotta be Snickers.
Has to be Snickers.
Final answer, yes. Snickers?
Snickers.
Yes.
Sounds like a...
Yay!
Well, when animals are named after people, like, hey, here's my dog, Albert.
I know.
You know?
And my son, Rover.
Yeah.
Question seven.
Okay.
What ingredients are used for making ants on a log?
Peanut butter, celery, and
raisins, yep.
French fried potatoes.
No, that's not it, Carl.
Carl, when you chime in like that, it costs us an answer, man.
Final answer, raisins. Final answer, raisins, peanut butter, and celery.
That's it right there.
Sounds good.
Oh! Paul's already. Quit.
I sometimes replace the raisins with chocolate chips, but
even better.
At the Witten House, we refer to chocolate chips as health nuggets.
Haley Hansen? Haley Hansen?
Yeah.
What instrument did jazz great John Coltrane play?
Ooh, Mr. Coltrane was that beautiful, beautiful trumpet, right? Oh, man. I'm 90% sure. No, it's trumpet or saxophone.
All the dogs listening just went,
Saxophone. Trumpet doesn't sound right. I got a bad reaction. So saxophone.
Final answer, saxophone.
I regret it. But yes, okay. Oh my God. We don't have time for the long pauses.
Question number nine.
I know it drives you crazy. That's why I'm doing it.
Question number nine.
Okay.
Cadbury cream eggs is a popular Easter egg.
True.
Where is Canterbury based in? Pennsylvania or Birmingham, England?
England.
England, right?
Where they make this treat.
England.
I mean, Hershey's is obviously Pennsylvania. Right. I'm not sure if they started in England and were bought and then moved, but I would go with England. It sounds British.
Let's go with England.
Mm-hmm.
Final answer, England.
Yes, England. Let's go with it. These long pauses, I hate them.
Birmingham, England, of course, is where they make the Canterbury eggs.
Last one. Hey, are we...
Along with the Canterbury
eggs. We already won.
No, that's... Yes, you did, but you get a bonus.
Oh.
For all correct, which you are there.
Okay, here we go.
Question for Dwight Whitten.
Oh, great. So, you're going to make me blow it?
Let's stick to the game.
Let's get to the game. Which Beatle did David Bowie call and write the song Fame with?
Bill Cox.
No.
Fame! I'm gonna love you forever!
No, not that Fame, no!
Fame. I want to say it's Ringo.
Final answer, Ringo?
Golly. I mean, yes, Ringo.
For a bonus for the kids that could use it. Is Dwight's answer correct?
Gosh, I'm sick to my stomach.
Yes, absolutely. Trust him with my life.
Okay, we get it. McCartney?
Haley Hansen, we love you. We'll see you for beers
love
tonight.
Love you.
Bye-bye. Back after this.
Wait,
Kimura,
who was
you got
it? Was it Harrison or McCartney?
John Lennon.
John Lennon?
Yes.
Okay, I thought Lennon was dead when he wrote Fame.
Nope. No. Back after this. News Radio 840 WHM.